the singing. You know, I so enjoy the manifestations of Holy Spirit. You know, like tongues with interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I also enjoy miracles, healing. You know, those also. It's also good to get information from God by revelation. And, you know, God allows us to walk and talk with him. And a great part of that is all wrapped up in this word godliness. Godliness. I've been looking at that this week. And it's really, really something. Go to Acts 17, please. Acts chapter 17. Another thing that's been on my mind quite a bit is AI. AI is soon to become the authority on everything. This is the authority on everything, God's word. AI is permeating and saturating the world. There's never been a more important time for us to permeate and saturate the world with God's word. We need to speak it. We need to teach it. We need to tell people about it. We need to not back down about it. We should not ever be embarrassed about it. We should speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. Because, you know, this whole AI thing is permeating everything. We need God's word. We need to saturate the world with the word. You know, we talked about word over the world, but just think about it. The power in the words of AI, but the power in the words of God are far beyond that. AI is a machine. God is the creator of the universe. Who you want to believe? You know. Yeah, AI has read every book in the world. Okay, who wrote those books? If this was the only book he read, man, that would be great. If he only read the Bible. But anyway, so that I just wanted to share my concerns about that today. You're welcome. Acts 17, verse 22. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." I'm trying to sound like Paul might have sounded, you know, at Mars Hill. This was a place where people would come to express their opinions. It's like the, don't they have this wall or something at UVA where you can say whatever you want to or make your words known, or well, this is what Mars Hill was, and he stood up there and he talked to these people in Athens. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar that was inscribed to the unknown God." The unknown God. Their devotions. What they were worshiping, you know, they were worshiping these idols. AI cannot deliver you from cancer. AI cannot heal a broken bone. And I've seen God do that. You know, one of my football buddies had his collarbone broken, came to our fellowship, we prayed for him. He did push-ups. You don't do push-ups with a broken collarbone. You know, AI can't do that. Okay, I'm going to get off the AI kick here in a minute. Okay, "Whom ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You know, God doesn't need anything. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. The race thing is a big lie. That whole race thing. You know, oh, let's not mix the races or whatever the hell people say. You know, that's all of one blood. Of one blood. God made Adam and Eve, and everybody else came after that. You know, this whole race thing is just a trumped up thing to get people mad at each other. So you can accuse each other of something. For goodness sake. For to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Isn't that something? Boy, oh boy. Well, let me read a little bit more then. That they should seek what? The Lord. They should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. You know, so man makes a statue. Man goes out and cuts down a tree. The tree wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for God. You know, and then they carve a totem pole thing. You know, they carve an idol, and all of a sudden that idol is God, made by man's hand. That's worship, and it's worshiping the wrong thing. It ain't right, by golly. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. Oh, isn't God good? God said, oh, here we go. Okay, you know, he winked at that. He just said, okay, well, that's man for you. But then God didn't stop there. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance. He's given that which we are to believe. That's the word pistis. Assurance. Unto all men, in that he hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Nobody else has ever gotten up, and nobody will until Christ comes back. But when he comes back, everybody's going to get up. Some people to a very rude awakening, because they're going to get up and they're going to what? The Bible calls die the second death. They're going to get up. They're going to see, oh my gosh, and then they're going to die the second death. Well, and those of us that believe on him, that believe regarding him, we are going to live on. We're going to have eternal life. Really something, isn't it? Well, while we're in Acts, let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Godliness is not worshiping idols. Godliness is not religion. Okay? Godliness is not religion. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about religion here in a minute. You know, a lot of these preachers, they want you to get religion. Well, no, you want to get godliness. You don't want to get religion. You want to get godliness. And maybe we should get them to change that and say, let's get some godliness instead of let's get some religion. Chapter 3 of Acts. I want to go to, where do I want to go? Verse 12. 3:12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? This is about the guy who is lame from his mother's womb, never walked. He didn't go through the crawling process and then the stumbling around, and his muscles finally got coordinated enough that he could stand. He had never done any of that. He was lame from his mother's womb. Okay. Why marvel ye at this? What's the big deal, folks? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? They prayed for him, and he got healed. They said to him, you know, stand up. Took him by the hand, stand up. He stood up. He was what? Healed. Yeah. Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? It's not about what you and I do. Religion is what we do. Religion is acts of outward declaration of putting the candles in the right place. You know, the sacrifices kind of stuff. That was religion, okay? But Jesus Christ paid the price for all that. All of those religious acts are no longer in vogue. You know, they're no longer necessary. It's God in Christ in us. That is godliness. God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me read to you something here. That this is an enlargement of a section out of the Bullinger Word Studies. Okay? So this is how E.W. Bullinger, we used to call him Bullinger, and then we found out we mispronounced it, so we try to call him Bullinger now. But this is the definition of godliness, the Greek word for godliness, according to E.W. Bullinger. And the word is Eusebia. E-U-S-E-B-E-I-A, Eusebia. It relates to real, true, vital, and spiritual relationship with God. That's godliness. Godliness is not what you do. Godliness is what you are because of what God accomplished in Christ Jesus. If someone is godly, they're like God, right? Well, godliness is a state of being like God. You cannot be like God if you're only body and soul. You can be like man. But if you're body, soul, and spirit, now you have the capacity, the wherewithal to be like God. Isn't that a terrific thing? And God is holy and God is spirit. All right? Holy Spirit. The holy part of God means it's unmixed by any foreign substance. It's pure. It's holy. God is holy. God is unmixed. He's not God and a little bit of something else. No, he is pure. Holy Spirit. Pure Spirit. Purely Spirit. Where we get in trouble is when we try to mix in the religious acts with the spirit realities of God, the spiritual realities of God. It's God in Christ in us. That gives us a state of being, which is godliness. And then, what do you do with it after you got it? You know, I got so blessed looking at this. I'll get back to Bullinger here in a minute, but godliness is being in a state of being like God. You know, the ness makes it, you know, a state of being. Okay, God is love. God is light. You know, we already said God is spirit and God is holy, but, you know, God is faithful. God cannot lie. You know why God can't lie? God said, and there was what? Light. You know, God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let there be a firmament. There was a firmament. God said, well, God's got to be careful about what he said. He can't lie because when he's whatever he says, it's truth. You know, it's impossible. Well, okay, God cannot lie. Then if we want to walk in godliness, we take on the characteristics that we have from God. The spiritual side of our being, the gift of Holy Spirit. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think this is a wonderful thing that I've heard said. God inside minded. God inside minded. You know, it's God in Christ in us. It's God inside minded. Boy, oh boy. I got ahead of my notes here. That's why I don't use notes, because I talk too much and then I get ahead of my notes. Okay. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. If you want to look at a living example of godliness, then you want to look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He always did the Father's will. He said what God wanted him to do. He did the things that pleased God. That is being in a state of godlike. He was an imitator of God. He imitated who God was and what God was. God is loving. God is kind. God is forgiving. All of those things. That's our life. That's how we try to live and want to live. And anybody and everybody who really thinks about it should want to live that way. Why would you want to take advantage of somebody else? Because then that makes it possible for somebody to take advantage of you. You know, God never took advantage of anybody. It's all freedom of will, freedom of choice. God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're a Christian, you're Christ-like. Christ was God-like. We want to be God-like. Okay, it's a state of being. It's not religious acts. It's not, if you do this, then that. You know, well, there is a certain amount of that, because you do have to confess Jesus as Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Born again of God's power, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But that is being is godliness. Okay, now there is the word religion. Religion relates to outward acts of religious observances or ceremonies, okay, which can be performed by the flesh. Can anybody sacrifice a lamb? Well, you got to have a lamb, I guess. But, you know, but you know, can anybody do these? Sure, in the flesh you can do these things, but we're talking about God is spirit. Godliness is in the spiritual realm. It's not religion. Our English word religion, was never used in the sense of true godliness. It always meant the outward forms of worship, bowing down to an idol. You don't have to bow down. It's God in Christ in you. God inside minded. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Isn't this stuff great? Boy, God is awesome. What he's done for mankind. And we need to tell people about it. You can't get good enough to become godly. It's something that God, this tells you about it, chapter 3. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then it says God. The word God is not the word that is in the text. The word that is in the text is which. The word for which begins with an omicron, okay? It's an O. Okay, if you take that O and you put a little line through it, it becomes a theta. And all of a sudden, which becomes God. That's how that happened, according to Bullinger, and he documents it, and you can read it in his works. So, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Well, they made it even more of a mystery by putting God in there instead of the real word that was in the text, which. Okay, which was manifest in the flesh. Huh. Who manifested in the flesh godliness? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He always did the Father's will. He did what was pleasing to God. He said what God wanted said. Okay. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Acts 10. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. Jesus Christ was received up into glory. But guess who else is going to be received up into glory? We are. We are. We are. Great is the mystery of godliness. Boy, isn't it something? Christianity is not a religion. Can I say that again? Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the way of a father with his children. God and these godly ones that he has made godly by what was accomplished by way of Jesus Christ. And we then live in that. We live in that state of godliness. We decide we're not going to contaminate it with other things, you know, that we bring in. We're going to keep it holy. You know, we're going to conduct our lives in that way. We're in Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. How about that? In all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. For there is one, who will have all men to come into the truth, be saved, and to come into the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to be saved. Every man, everybody that draws breath. He's not racist. You know, everybody that draws breath, he wants them to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. Let's look at verse 10. I guess we better look at that. Verse 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Women confessing godliness. And this word for godliness is the same root word, but it's got theo in front of it. Theosebia. Theosebia. And it's reverence toward God is what this word means. That these women are to have reverence toward God. Well, isn't everybody, not just the women? You know, of course they are. Of course they are. That is reverence toward God is a part of how we conduct ourselves within this godliness. You know, hey, without a reverence toward God, you can't even begin to have knowledge. You can't even begin to have wisdom, because the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs, right? Sure, sure. Look at chapter 3, 16. Did we already do that one? I think we did. Yeah, okay, we'll skip over it then. Chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things that were before, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So those of us that are ministers, we need to read this. Nourished up in the words of believing, the words of the right way of believing, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Okay, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, exercising thyself rather unto what? Godliness. Godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth a little. It profits for a little while. And I'm glad for this, because I've cut way back on my exercise program. Not so much, but anyway. But godliness is profitable unto all. Things is in italics. That means it's not there in the text. Godliness is profitable unto all. Live within the being of Christ in you, God inside minded. Live in this godliness that God has given us, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Boy, oh boy, isn't that something? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, acceptation. Boy, oh boy. Look at chapter 6 of Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, am I on the right? I'm in the right place. Okay. I'm looking at 6:3, 1 Timothy 6:3. Okay. Wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to what? The doctrine that's according to godliness. The church epistles has the doctrine, reproof, and correction that deals with what? Godliness. Those of us that have God on the inside, we have God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. That inside of what we have. Verse 4. Let's see. If you don't do that, and to the doctrine which is going, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises. Have you seen this with people that reject God? They want to argue with you about everything. Perverse, disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, proposing that gain, that financial gain, is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Having money isn't the definition of godliness. Godliness is, it don't matter if you got money or not. God's going to take care of you, because you're living as God would have you live. You're living where God answers prayer, right? But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Right? But they that will be rich, that will to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. It's okay to have money. But the love of money, that's the root of all evil, because money then becomes your God. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the believing, from the right way of believing, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, believing, love, patience, meekness, and so forth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. This godliness is pretty neat stuff. You know, pretty neat stuff. It says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, they call you, if you try to walk and be a good person, they call you a goody two shoes. I got two shoes. For goodness sake, they're trying to belittle you by calling you a goody two shoes. Well, that's better than being a barefoot baddie. I guess. I don't know. But anyway, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of what? Godliness. Oh, it looks so good. It looks just like, to that outwardly, it comes across like, man, they really got it. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Denying the power thereof. The power of God in Christ in you. God has given us the power to be godly. Not to look godly, but to be godly. To be in a state of godliness. And we can build on that state of godliness. Chapter 3, verse 5. Did I read that yet? Yeah, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Yeah, let's do that. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the believing of God, the right way of believing of God's elect, and the accomplishing of the truth, which is after what? Godliness. The truth is godliness. See, if it's not the truth, there's some stuff mixed in there. It's no longer holy, right? It's the truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, a lot of people, they can't, what, handle the truth. That movie was so great. They brought that in. Some people just can't handle the truth. Well, they can't handle the Word of God. Because God's word is truth. In hope of eternal life, which God hath, which God that cannot lie, told you he couldn't lie, promised before the world began, and hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Boy, isn't that something? Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Godliness. What a terrific thing. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which are ordained, which have obtained like precious faith, are the foundation for believing with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God and the righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You can't even begin to have a knowledge of God unless you have reverence toward God, right? You, if you don't have spirit on the inside, it's foolishness unto you, right? Remember that record in Corinthians where it's foolishness to them? Why? Because they're not born again. They don't have spiritual insight. You can't have insight into something you don't got. According to the divine power which giveth unto us all things that pertain unto life and what? Godliness. His divine power. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Wow. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your believing virtue, and to your virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Godliness. Boy, oh boy. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the chairs in here, our cars out there, the school bus that picks you up, all that stuff's going to be gone. All that stuff's going to be dissolved. So seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation, in all holy manner of life and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, usins, born again folks, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for these, for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Boy, oh boy, isn't that something? Godliness is awesome. And we've got it. We can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But thank God we've got it. God in Christ in us. It's a state of being. Let's guard that God in Christ in you. Let's stay and not mix that in with other things, you know. Let's not mix it in with other things. Dr. Werbel used to say, you tell me what you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you how far you're going to go spiritually. You tell me what you think about the Word of God, I'll tell you how far you're going to go. You know, do you have respect toward God and his Word? If you want to go fast and far, you got to have respect toward God and his word. Isn't that better than a two-letter thing? God at least has three letters in his name. You know, AI just has two letters. AI is not God. God is God. And by God's mercy and grace, he's put within us the capacity to be godly, to be like him, to remain in that state, to be like him, to be loving, kind, forgiving, you know, full of grace and mercy. You know, these are all attributes of God. Yeah. And it's really wonderful, and it's enough to make you want to take your Bible to school.
I got a brand new walk. I got a brand new dog. I feel so good.
Okay. I had it queued up. I'll get there. If the Lord takes it. I'm trying to hit the button that says, oh, that's the button I want. All right, what's this one? Oh, it was just waiting. Patience in that.
That's part of it.
Fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm gonna carry my Bible to school. I don't care if people think it ain't cool. Gonna witness to all of my friends. Gonna show them how to be born again. I know my grades will all be A, 'cause I read it every day. I'm gonna carry my Bible to school. In math I'm gonna write on the board that in the Bible 2 + 2 = 4. And then I'm gonna have some fun when I prove you can't get 3 out of 1. No, no. And won't my classmates be surprised when I show them how to rightly divide? I know I'll do real well, 'cause every time I hear the bell, I'm gonna sign them up for PFAL. I'm gonna carry my Bible to school. I don't care if people think it ain't cool. Gonna witness to all of my friends. Gonna show them how to be born again. I know my grades will all be A, 'cause I read it every day. I'm gonna carry my Bible to school. Oh, watch me work. Homework, that is. In English I'll win the spelling bee, 'cause I can spell supernaturally. In social studies I will do fine, 'cause I know how to renew my mind. In gym I'm gonna have a real ball, 'cause I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I know I'll do real well, 'cause every time I hear the bell, I'm gonna sign them up for PFAL.
Godliness is irreplaceable. You know, it's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. People, we need to get this information out to folks. What a peace you have in your heart when you know that it's God in Christ in you. when you can manifest God's Spirit, when you can walk and talk with God. That's all wrapped up in that godliness. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy, for your watchful care over our lives. What a privilege it is that you've made us like you by giving us this gift of Holy Spirit. What a joy in our hearts to know that you have done so much for us, made us more than conquerors and all the other things, the very great multitude of promises. And we're thankful for just the privilege of being alive and being able to tell other people about your grace, mercy, and love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.